Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine. Jace is going to be doing his Episcopal game, which we always want to do this because we always record a day ahead.
Right.
So today is
Thursday.
Friday. Today's Friday. We're recording on Thursday. So when people hear this, just realize it's the day before that we record. So your game tonight is Dunham and Episcopal. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
You can tell everybody where the game's going to be, yada, yada. You got your Southeastern game.
Yeah.
We'll actually bring that up with the college talk later.
Sure.
You're going to be doing the play-by-play for Southeastern Lions.
Busy weekend.
And then I've got some stuff I'm going to do. I don't always announce where I'm going because I don't know where I'm going usually till the day of the games. And right now I've watched everybody play locally here in Baton Rouge. I've watched a lot of the New Orleans teams. I've watched a lot of Shreveport, a lot of Monroe, a lot of Lafayette. Next week I'm going to spend time watching a lot of Lake Charles. The River Parishes, I've watched some of those schools. St. Tammany, I'm watching a lot of St. Tammany games this week, Jace. And then Houma LaFouche, I've watched about half of those teams and a lot of South LaFouche games. So in Alexandria, I'll be working, watching the rest. So after next week, I'll have over 220 schools watched full game, which I'm getting to that 300. I'll never get to three, never do, but I get to 290, 285, something like that. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to talk about LSU in the first segment, Florida game. second segment. Finish LSU. Third segment, we're going to talk about colleges, like the big games of the weekend. I'll recap ULL App State from the other night. And I want to talk about some high schools. If you really like high school football, I'm going to talk about Slidell High School, Fountain Blue, speaking of St. Tammany area. I'm going to talk about Benton, which is around the Bossier side of Shreveport. And I'm also going to be talking about Lafayette Christian, all schools that I'll watch play this year. And I think listeners can appreciate that if I watched a couple of full games and I've been doing this for a long time, I can share with the listeners what I'm seeing. Let's go ahead and start segment one, LSU. I'm going to give my two cents out, Jace. Tell me how you feel. All right, so This would be loss number four. All right. I've seen this before. I've seen in your lifetime, Jace, I know you saw the Les Miles debacle. All right.
I've seen a lot of those crazy games.
Now, prior to you being born and, and being a teenager and all that, I saw Curly Hallman, how that debacle went around. I saw DiNardo go. I was actually old enough to remember when Jerry Stovall was fired in 1983. Curly Hallman, DiNardo, Les Miles,
the Jerry Stovall. Years there.
Yeah. And I remember when Saban left. So this situation reminds me a lot of Curly Hallman in a way. You know, Curly just lost his handle on the program, you know, basically. And just couldn't get it back.
Yeah.
This team wasn't physical this year. In my 43 years of watching LSU football, it's probably the most least physical team I've ever seen in my life. They're not a very physical team, and you've got to be physical too. And I know the spread offense has changed the game, yada, yada, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's not – the physical aspect's not there.
You're still going to need that to win games.
Yeah,
no matter.
If you want to be a championship team or even be a even to be an 8-4 team, you need that.
When it comes to a finesse team and a power team that's going to rely on its offense and defensive line, the physical team is going to win out 100% of the time.
And, Jace, I thought they'd go 10-2 coming out of the summer.
Myself included.
I'm just very shocked that they didn't get it back from having a horrible year last year. I just thought that with the new staff, with the hunger there, you know, the new guys coming in.
And the way the last season ended. Yeah.
And the guy, I knew they had a great off season because mm-hmm. I've got dads who are friends of mine. Their kids are on the team.
Yeah.
So I'm getting reports. I might not be going to practice, but I'm getting everything. And they had a great summer. I mean, they were really working hard. But you play the way you practice in the fall. And if you don't practice a certain way or you're not evolving, that's kind of where they are. And so for whatever reason, the team just could not. And look, I think the team for some reason will play hard this week because it's Florida. But I don't think they're going to be able to finish. I don't expect a 90,000 crowd.
No.
So it's not going to be the full spirit of LSU defense. When I say defense, the crowd's usually your defense.
Yeah. It plays into the factor. Just right. Look at last week, Texas A&M, that Texas yeah. A&M game.
So where LSU's at right now is they're going to have basically a skeleton probably crowd.
It's about 60,000 or so probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, around there.
Maybe 65 mm-hmm. if you're counting the suites. People who love LSU. And yep. Look, I grew up an LSU fan being in Baton Rouge. I mean, if somebody says they didn't, tell the truth. You know what I mean? If you're in the media and you grew up here, come on now.
Right.
But I just don't think this team, with the guys that are no longer playing this year, can beat a Florida team that can run the ball with their quarterbacks. If you think Knicks could run the ball, wait till Anthony Richardson runs the ball. And wait till the other quarterback runs the ball, and they've got a great O-line. So I just don't think, even if LSU plays hard, that they have all the ammunition they need to win. They just don't have it. And when they beat Florida in Florida, man, LSU just caught them off guard, I believe. I mean, Florida wasn't up for that game. But LSU was – they were more, for some reason
– being proved wrong so many times. You know,
But I think they'll come out playing hard. I think LSU's team will play hard, but I just don't think there's enough there to finish. Yeah. And, you know, this could be one of those games where it's like LSU leading at halftime and people are like, oh, man, they're leading like 21-14 or 21-17.
Yeah.
And then at the end it could be like 42-24, Florida.
Yeah, I actually have Florida winning 31-17, so them just kind of pulling away at the end. But I think LSU, just with all the, you know, all the talk, I mean, they're tired of it the last couple of weeks.
Right.
They're going to put up a fight, but all those injuries that happened during the week, it's just going to come to cost.
It's too much.
It's just too much to overcome.
They don't have any depth at D-line. Now, Ed will not talk about why they're not playing these other highly recruited D-linemen. They're still only rotating six guys.
Well, eventually he's going to have to do so. They're having these many injuries, like Joseph Evans, Ali Gay. I mean, eventually he's going to have to rotate those guys.
So part of the problem, Jace, is they get tired and they just can't hold up in the fourth quarter. And all these great recruits that they have on the roster, half of them aren't playing. And that's what the fans have a right to say, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of worse talk, obviously, after this game, I predict. It's going to get even worse. But let me just give advice. Well, people don't like to be given advice, but let me just say this. Except it's not the year.
Yeah.
Except it.
Well, they should have accepted that 2 weeks ago.
But I'm saying don't continue to get angry after this game. You know what I mean? Like, just go ahead and just support the team.
Enjoy the journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a long month.
Mm-hmm.
And if they upset like Ole Miss, which they could, I'm telling you, they can
beat
Arkansas.
I still think they'll upset somebody.
Yeah, or maybe a couple of teams. But still, this is going to end up at best.
6-6
at best.
At best, yep.
And so all I'm saying is don't let this ruin your weekend and don't get crazy. I can understand people that get angry. I mean, when I was growing up in Baton Rouge as a teenager, in my early 20s, late 20s, early 30s, I'd get upset really bad, but, you know, there's a point in time where it's like, you know what? For the kids, for the program's sake, just support them.
Yeah, support them.
And that's the road, that's the highway I'm taking, because this is all going to get good again. It's all going to recover.
Yeah, like you said, with the transfer portal and just, with a new coach coming in.
Yeah, but if this game is a blowout, just
Accept it
and know going in, hey, we're probably not going to beat Florida. Even, you know, maybe give them a half. If LSU plays them a half, then that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I want to see what these – watch these young guys because those are the that's the future of your program. Yeah. You want to see – and, you know, with all these injuries, it's unfortunate that Kayshon is out for the year. It's unfortunate Elias Ricks is out for the year.
Even if they were playing, Jace, it's just the mindset's not there as a team.
Right. But you want to see which guys we can count on for the next couple of years.
Deion Smith needs to step up, not drop some balls. He's been dropping balls. Now that Malik Nabers is healthy, he shows a lot of promise. See what he can do. There's a couple of receivers now that get more reps that weren't playing as much. I know Hilton's out for the year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look, when you see a kid – heck, if you're a student listening to my show and you see a player going to class, say, hey, man, hang in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 18, 19, right. 20-year-old kids.
This is still a very young football
team. Kids.
That's what people don't realize. This is still a very young football team.
But if you want this team to bounce back next year, you don't want them to get discouraged about the future. I think the future is going to be great. I really do because I think that Woodward is the best AD for LSU for this.
He will find himself a really good coach. You're going to trust him that he does that. And then whoever comes in, he's going to bring himself a really good staff along with him.
Yeah.
So, and you know you got the talent in Louisiana. You got the talent on your roster already.
Yeah.
So this is not like a doom situation where this program is, you know, gone for the next 20 years. It's not that at all.
Hey, look, I would say 55-24, but Florida's offense is not great. Good.
That's why I said 31-17. Yeah,
but I think Mullen's not going to take the foot off the gas.
I think while you talked about Anthony Richardson, I think this is going to be the game that Emory Jones is going to struggle, and then he's going to have to finally unleash Anthony Richardson, and that's going to be his coming out party. That's what I predict.
The way Mullen does it, he'll put Anthony in the third quarter.
Yep.
And Anthony will have 150 yards rushing in one half.
And that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be Anthony Richardson's coming out game, and he's going to win the quarterback competition. It's going to be his team.
And Florida's okay; they're not great, but neither was Kentucky. Kentucky, I mean, dominated LSU. Think about that; they dominated LSU.
Mullen's just really good at adjusting to his personnel. Like last year with Kyle Trask and Pitts, they were a throwing team. This year, they got some good backs, good offensive line. They're more of a running team.
It would not shock me, Jace, if LSU's leading at halftime.
Yeah,
because Florida, their offense is, some reason they're second half team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't shock me if LSU gives everything they have in the first half, and might even lead, and then they just can't hang on.
That's the one thing I ask. Just show that you're competitive and you want to compete, and then LSU fans will support you. They'll want you. They'll show up to the games and they'll support you. If you give effort and you're competitive, that's the only thing that they ask of you. Now, if you're going to lay down and, like, Kentucky game, you're going to lay down and just let them roll over you, that's a totally different
story.
Well,
being at home, I think you'll get a little more juice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Problem is, it's not going to be a 90,000-seat stadium. Now, if it is some reason there is 90,000, my whole opinion
Yeah, it doesn't help. It's at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Everybody's just starting to wake up.
But don't you agree, Jace, and – we're in two different generations on age.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that social media generation.
Yeah.
And I've had to deal with, I don't like social media. I can't stand the PC. I got to use it like a lot of people.
Yeah, there are a lot of negatives to it. There are a lot of positives to it. But
I think people get a headache hearing something every day that's negative. They just get a headache, a migraine, and they just shut it out. And I want to be one source that says, we're going to talk about it. We're going to end it with positives for the future, and it is going to work out. We just got to
bottle up. Yeah, I'm a half glass full type guy.
Yeah.
So you got to look at the positives coming up, and you want to see what these young guys can do. You want to see what these coaches can do because they're really young, like especially Pete's and Jones, and you see how they develop and how they get better for next year is a learning experience for them too.
Well, I think most of the staff is going to be
gone. Yeah, but this is pretty much an audition for them, though.
Well, they're going to be looking. They're already trying to find a job for next year.
Yeah, this is an audition for somewhere else.
Because if they can't win a game, but maybe ULM from here on out, they're all going to have a hard time
They're not going to be the coordinators for OSU next year, but they can coach themselves an opportunity to be a coordinator somewhere else. They'll be back in the
NFL.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As assistant coaches.
Right.
Not coordinators.
Right. You can also pull for Cade York to try to win the Groza because that could happen. That's never happened at OSU.
I was pulling for Kayshawn Booty to have like 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Kayshawn was on his way to an All-American type season.
He still might be on a team though.
Yeah, he'll probably make an all-SEC team just based off his performance the first couple of weeks. And really, there's not a receiver in the SEC that just, you know, separates himself from the rest of the pack.
Will Stingley be the first DB to play not even a full season the last 2 years and make All-American twice?
I just don't see how he makes All-American this year, considering he played three games.
Think about it.
Yeah.
He didn't play that many last year, made All-American. He made All-American as a freshman. That was the stud coming out party. It's going to be interesting to see how those teams look with all these opt-outs with other players on other teams.
Because it's coming. It's that point in the year where, you know, players are saying, oh, our team is out of the national championship picture.
I can't stand it.
But it's a new era of college football, and it's something you have to accept. I personally don't like it either. But at this day and age, I mean, that's where they're going to want the money. That's what it's going to come down to. And I can't fault them for wanting millions of dollars coming up. You don't want to risk that.
Yeah, but I think when you sign a scholarship in the future, the NCAA needs to say, okay, part of your scholarship is these are the things you have to fulfill or you get your scholarship's gone.
Yep.
All right, we're paying for your scholarship, a free education.
Right.
But you have to finish maybe. You got to play in your bowl game. You got to finish the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, that's
– Yeah, I mean, I agree. You got to be committed to your team and, I mean – It's a new day and age, but you have to be committed to your team. And
it's going to where they're going to have to create a league pretty soon. If you're looked at as a future first-round pick coming out of high school, they might have to have a league that you can just go play in a year, kind of like a MLB junior, like a minor league for pro football. Because, hey, I mean, college coaches need to build programs with 3-4-year guys, not guys that just want to go 1 year and then the next year and then the next year. And you know what? Look, I'm not talking about Stingley and Ricks. I'm talking about the whole deal.
Yeah, I get the guys that are guaranteed, like a Jamar Chase coming in, that are guaranteed a top 10 pick, top 15 pick coming into the season. I get that. Now, other players that are still battling for a second-round pick or a third-round pick, you should play the whole year, definitely.
All right. I'm going to throw something out here before your time.
Okay.
That makes me not agree with that. But in the 80s and 90s and 2000s early, guys played 3 to 4 years in college and still had 15 years of pro ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It didn't affect their pro career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Brady was a 4-year player at Michigan, okay?
He wasn't a top 10 pick.
He was looked at as an NFL pick, though.
Mm.
And it didn't affect his injuries for, what is he now, almost 45, okay?
No, he's 45
So my point is, all these players that played in the 80s and 70s, it was pretty rough then. Football was a rough sport then.
Yeah.
It didn't affect their pro career. That's my point I'm trying to make. They still had long careers. Emmitt Smith played 4 years at Florida. He still had a long career with the Cowboys.
I'm saying I don't agree with those top 10, 15 picks sending out years, sending out games, but I understand where they're coming from. That's my thing.
Well, but I think the NFL needs to get behind college ball for first time and promote to the young kids, the youth starting before high school.
It should mean something.
Be ready for us because the NFL is not for long. That's what it means. NFL, not for long. And it doesn't mean you get to retire. It doesn't mean that you're going to not have to work again because a lot of these guys, they need to be on TV that went through $5 million and, after 40 years, I mean, $5 million is not going to last you long if you have a lifestyle of wanting a couple of nice cars and a home.
Yeah,
right. And so we need more of these guys speaking out against it, and the young guys would think differently. Just like a couple of high school coaches came on here before and said, you know, if you talk about something long enough, the kids are going to think one way. Meaning if you talk about only the playoffs being important, then that's all they're going to look at as being important. But if the media says all these bowl games, except, look, I will say this. there's really only 16 bowl games that are important.
Right. And I mean, there's only a couple of them.
And by the way, the Independence Bowl is one of them, because I know it's Louisiana and it's been around for a while. But, yep.
New Year's Six and the older bowls.
But I mean,
something.
You know, I remember when everybody in the media, even ESPN, would say, oh man, it's the Independence Bowl next week, and everybody would be pumped up, and oh yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't have a BCS or a national championship playoff system. It was like, it was based on polls. So, like, if you played in the Orange Bowl and it was number one versus number four.
You hang out with your team in another city for a week, and the sponsors are taking care of you for like 7-10 days. Some of them are 12 days. It's like going to Disney World. You know what I mean? Just enjoy it, you know, with your team and enjoy being young and having all this given to you and the fans and all. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's go ahead and we're going to move from LSU. We're going to talk about other college football games this week. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. Let's talk about some of the other college games this week, Jace. I've got Arkansas barely beating Auburn.
Yeah,
two teams with two losses, two teams both 4-2.
Yeah, how does Arkansas bounce back and after losing just a tough game to Ole Miss and but, then two games in a row? How did they bounce back?
I think Arkansas. This might be your first start for Finley. I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If Auburn loses and goes 3 losses, their coach is fine. He's brand new.
Yeah.
Michigan State 6-0 plays Indiana 2-3. I'm going to go with Michigan State being 7-0.
Yeah. They're good. They're legit.
Mel Tucker's done a great job there. Former LSU assistant, former Georgia assistant, former Michigan State player.
Right.
For Saban, by the way.
Right. And they have a pretty good running back receiver duo with Kenneth Walker and Jaden Reed. They're both really good.
Florida, my prediction was 42-24. 42 Florida Gators over LSU 24.
Mm-hmm. I got 31-17 for them.
Yeah, and in Oklahoma State, Coach Gundy's quietly 5-0 at Oklahoma State. They play 4-2 Texas.
They're always in the mix in the Big 12. You can't count them out.
He was like on a hot seat. Now he's not on the hot seat, Gundy. So
yeah, he's been there.
And if
he's been there a while.
If they beat Texas, that'll give Texas 3 losses, and they would be 6-0.
Yeah, and it could be them in Oklahoma pretty soon.
Here's a game to watch for possibly a guy resigning at the end of the year, getting fired. Miami Hurricanes, North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Let me explain my reasoning. You kind of probably
know
what I'm
going
to say.
Yeah, you know. I mean, both teams coming into the season were projected as teams that could challenge for an ACC championship, and both have been, you know, big disappointments this year.
Mac Brown's at the age of retirement. They're 3-3. I could see him retiring.
Yep.
Miami, if they lose this game,
Manny
I can
Diaz.
See them firing Manning.
Yep.
So this is a game of a lot of pressure, I believe.
Kind of reminds me of the Malzahn and Les Miles game years ago.
They're probably looking at each other across the sideline going, oh.
Like, who really wants to win this game, you know?
Kentucky, Georgia. I'm going with Kentucky 7-0. I really am. Georgia's offense is...
I'm riding the Kentucky train. I mean,
I am too.
They've impressed me against LSU. And, I mean, they're a really good football team. They're a balanced team. They can run the football. They play great defense.
Quarterback's changed them.
Yeah, quarterback gives them a little bit of a boost as well. Will Levis. I'm riding the Kentucky train. I think they have a chance.
And Georgia's walk-on quarterback, I don't see him lighting up Kentucky. I really don't.
This is going to be a game because we were keeping track of when the JT Daniels comes back.
And I think it's more than what it is because they're not saying
anything. Yeah, they're not saying anything. And, this is one of those games for sure. Stetson Bennett is going to have to step up and, beat Kentucky.
Well, I don't
And I don't really see that happening.
I know it's at Georgia, but Kentucky's – this is different Kentucky.
Remember when Georgia and Kentucky were playing for, the same type of game?
Like
it showed that Kentucky wasn't there yet. Now they are there with Georgia. I can see it being a really good game.
This is a good game. Brigham Young at Baylor, Dave Aranda. They're 5-1. Brigham Young's 5-1. That's a toss-up.
BYU lost last week against Boise State. I thought that was a disappointing loss for them, and it ruined their chances for a playoff. We're just talking about stuff like that. But, this is a game, a non-conference game, interesting matchup between two teams. And How about Dave Aranda and Baylor? They've had themselves a pretty good season to this point.
You know, it's a second year.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he's a, you know, a national championship coach yet. It's
no.
his first job, but he's doing
he's
a good job.
He's doing a pretty good job right
Last
now.
Last year, he didn't have a good year, his first year, but he it wasn't his team.
And it was a COVID year.
And if he wins this game, then his name might be more seriously considered because Brigham Young at one time was a top 10 team in the country this year before their one loss.
Mm-hmm.
But Aranda, hey, man, I tell you what, if there's a fallback coach in this when LSU does, you know, look for a coach, I wouldn't have a problem with it if they.
Yeah, I would not mind Dave. Aranda interviewing.
Because if he would get an offensive mind and he's a defensive coordinator, he knows LSU's me. That, the last D coordinator they had that was good was Dave Aranda.
And that's what I want for LSU for the next head coach is you can find a lot of talented offensive minds everywhere.
Yeah.
Those hard defensive, really good defensive
coaches.
There's
a lot of Cliff Kingsbury's coming up.
Yeah. But those defensive coaches, they are hard to find. And if you hire a guy like Luke Fickell or a guy like Dave Aranda, somebody that's hard-nosed defensive mindset, you can find yourself a really good play caller somewhere else.
I'm going to say now, Dave Aranda will be one of the five guys that Woodward does interview when all this does start.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was at LSU.
Yeah. He's got that connection already. He knows what it means to the fans. He knows the expectations at LSU.
And Dave was at Wisconsin. It's not like he just went to LSU only.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was at Wisconsin with some great teams at Wisconsin.
Yep.
And so he's been in big boy land for a long time.
He has.
One more game before we take a break. I'm on this train of Alabama not having it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bama's a 10-2 team, which people in Tuscaloosa, they can't sleep at night in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama is still really good, but they are vulnerable.
Very much.
Very vulnerable.
And Will Rogers is becoming a great quarterback. They've got some great receivers, Jace. They beat A&M.
Yeah.
At College Station. The same team that beat Alabama, okay? So I think it's going to be a good game. Now, I do think Bama will win, but mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a great – it won't be a blowout. It won't be like 28 to nothing, and then they just, you know, run the score up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good game. It's at State, I believe.
Yep, at Starkville.
So, cowbells galore. And I think that if State had a great running game, mm-hmm. I think they'd win it.
I'm going to disagree with you, Lee. I'm going to go with the national narrative. I think it's not going to be close. I think Nick Saban here in the whole week and his team, I would not want to play Alabama after a loss.
I don't know. I think the pressure on that young quarterback has hit home.
Yeah, well.
And he's heard it from his fan base, right? Alabama, if you lose a game in Alabama right now, they will tear you apart. Mm-hmm. They'll make you feel like you can't even play youth league football anymore.
Yeah, well, it's the expectations that Nick brought to this program.
This kid might be a little pressured and might be trying too hard this week.
Well, if they can get the running game help a little bit, I just think that if you help them out a little bit, Bryce Young's going to be effective. And
if Bama loses this game, you better not even go in Alabama this year. It's going to be going to be like a funeral.
Oh, you think fans in Baton Rouge are pretty tough around here?
It's
nothing compared to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Even old Fonbaum is tearing him up over a loss.
Yeah,
he better watch out. Saban might not let him interview him again.
The expectations are just totally unreal. Like, you know, with Nick Saban, think about it, the most dominant college football coach of all time. They're criticizing him after a loss, and it's just going to happen. Like, nobody is perfect. There's going to be an off game somewhere down the road. Look, the best college football team of all time was LSU in 2019. They had themselves an off game. They were able to get away with it, but you're going to have off games now and then. You're not going to just go through the whole season playing your A game every single week, and that just unfortunately for Alabama, that was that week at Texas A&M.
I have a philosophy on Alabama. It's a theory. They've had the best running back in college football basically almost every year the last 12 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you know, Ingram was the best for 3 years.
Trent Richardson
was the best for 3 years.
Derrick Henry
was the best for 3 years. Yarborough was, like, one of the best for 2 years. Najee Harris. And guess what? The guy they have now, mm-hmm. who's not bad.
He's decent.
He's not good. Any of those guys.
Yeah, he's not to their level.
And my theory is they've always had that unstoppable bus
mm-hmm.
that they can wear you out. You couldn't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that right now.
Yeah.
Bama cannot just put you away with three phenomenal, huge running backs.
Yeah.
And Jace McCallum getting hurt,
mm-hmm.
that hurt big time because he was going to be the guy that wears you out late mm-hmm. in games, and he's not there.
Yeah.
And Roydell Williams is not – it's a big drop-off between McCallum and Roydell Williams at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my theory, Jace. That's my theory of why State will stay in the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think they have that. I mean, think about it. When Najee Harris ran the ball late in games, you couldn't stop him. Derrick Henry, Yarbrough, Richardson, Ingram, you just couldn't stop him. Even T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah,
you couldn't stop these guys.
Right.
They were grown men playing against, like, boys on the field, right? I mean, it just LSU could not stop those guys.
No. No, year in,
if you had
year
a
out.
Nine-man front, you couldn't stop them.
No,
everybody talks about all these quarterbacks Alabama's had, and all these.
No, it's just it just happened like over the last when Lane Kiffin was there, it was really when they decided to really open things up a little bit offensively. Yeah.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, if you like high school football, we're going to be talking some high school football and some teams I've watched. I'll share it. Jace knows about these guys. I've watched them again this year. I've watched them last year. I'm going to share what I've seen. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, you've got to go to Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Family owned since the 1960s. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Jace Lejeune is a co-host today. The topic today in this segment is going to be high school football in Louisiana. And I just want to share that what I'm seeing on talent, the competition out there, talk about different teams every week, some teams that deserve some publicity. The first team I want to talk about is Fountain Blue. Jace, around Covington, Louisiana.
Yeah, yep.
You know, they got that's a talent bed, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
You got St. Paul's.
Yep.
High school, Covington High School, and then you got Fountain Blue. Those are three really good programs in like a 5-mile stretch.
Right. And you overlook it, but they've been really good. You talk about Covington, they've had themselves, the Salter days.
Yeah.
You know, they've been really good.
Brumfield was a phenomenal back for 3 years, 4 years.
Right. With Jack Salter and Greg Salter now as head coach, they've been a really good program year in, year out.
I watched them yesterday, but. Fountain Blue, Covington, and St. Paul's, here's something unique. All dressed close to 80 kids each. That's a 5-mile area, okay, for three high schools. Do you know that anywhere else where there's three high schools dressing close to 100 players?
Not that I can think of.
In one town? That's pretty
unique.
Must
be a heavy populated town.
Yeah. So Fountain Blue is a young team, Jace. I want to talk about their O-line. They've got a great O-line.
It seems like they always had a pretty big offensive line over there at Fountain Blue.
They're a very scrappy team. They're always going to play you hard. They've got some big kids. Not as much speed as some of the teams they play, but their O-line's really great. Brady Jones is a senior, number 79. He's 6'3". He's the small guy. He's 284.
Like I said, they're known for big guys.
He's a D1, 1AA guy. Depends on who gives him a shot. And then there's Alexander. They call him Alex Smith. He's 6'3", about 285, 290. He's a D1 guy. Now, these aren't just big guys. These are guys that run like linebackers.
Yep.
And I think Alex Smith, and Brady Jones are SEC guys. That's my opinion. These are the guys that end up at Louisiana Tech or Tulane.
Mm-hmm. Come steals. Yep.
Steals and they end up playing in NFL or being all really good college players. And they got a third O-lineman. He's a small guy. Justin Dufresne, he's 270.
Only 270.
6 foot.
Yep.
And then they have a guy named Blake Bird, who's a senior. He plays like he's 400, like 300 pounds of muscle. He's 220, 5'8", Jace, but he pulls.
Yep.
And he looks like he runs a 4.5 40 doing it.
Yeah, right. He's willing to run to something. That's
and get
this.
They got a junior O-lineman and a sophomore that both are 290, 300 pounds on top of that.
That's amazing. They Well, with that offensive line, you should know what to do in high school football, and that's run the heck out of it.
Yeah, they got a young quarterback in Rondae White, who's only a junior. They got a bunch of young skill guys. I really like their senior linebacker, Terrell Monk, number 6. He's a very athletic player. Donovan Newman is a senior receiver, and they've got this super talented receiver named Kobe Barnes.
Yeah, he looks the part.
Kobe's 6'2", about 205. He looks like a guy that would play on in the SEC on Saturdays.
Yep.
And I don't want to leave out a couple other guys, a young running back named Jaden Ikolas, number 23. J.J. O'Neal, they're both young guys, and they're both pretty fast. And their best linebacker, get this, I love this. I want to mention this kid. He's a sophomore, Jace. He's number 42, Dylan Rutker. He's only 5'5", 160.
How about that?
But he'll
Mighty
come
Mouse.
Up, but he'll come up in the hole and tag you and hit you like he's 250.
Mighty Mouse.
No fear, okay? Kind of player I love to watch on film. I love those guys. Dylan Rutker, and I hope if he gets any size on him in the next 2 years, this boy's going to be playing college ball. I mean, with that kind of aggression and hitting ability.
Oh, you need those guys. You definitely need those guys.
And then they got a senior receiver named Ryan Siffried, who's 6'1", 180, very athletic. And number 19, Trent Gagnon, who's a sophomore DB. They're both about 6'1". And Damian Marshall, a DB, who's a junior. So, I mean, it's a good little team. Enjoyed watching them play. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Benton High School, Jace, up around Shreveport-Bossier City area. They got a great senior class. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Trezent Care Tire Company, located in Central. Call 331-8144. Family-owned and operated. It's 1971. That's 331-8144. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune. I watched Benton High School the other day, Jace, and the job Reynolds Moore does is phenomenal. They're not a team that's going to have a ton of D1 players, but they got a lot of good, scrappy players.
Yep.
They're a team. They play tough. They're in a tough district.
Yep.
It's tough to get to where you're going to go far when you got to play Edna Carr, you know, in 4A. It's just tough when you have to play a Neville. To get, you know, far in the playoffs. But Benton, they get more out of their talent than any program I know. And they've got a good junior-senior group that I think is going to have a shot at going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because their quarterback, Gray Walters, Jace, is the real deal. Tall, good arm. They've got a kid at defensive end.
Yep.
Who's a senior that – and he's in our magazine, and he's done a great job. They got a couple of them.
Yep.
Davis Sellers.
Yeah.
6'3", about 230.
Yeah, I think he's committed to Harding right now.
Yeah, in Arkansas.
Yep.
Very tough kid. He's a three-year starter. You got Jackson Ashley, another DN senior.
Yep.
Their punter, R.J. Moore, is a D1 punter. He's got a great leg.
Yeah, and that's Reynolds Moore's son.
Yeah.
Yep.
Coach's son can really punt that football.
Yep.
Greg Manning, they have a young running back. He's going to be phenomenal, by the way, Jace. He's only a sophomore. Runs 4.4, it looks like, in any way, on the field. And Ethan Johnson's a junior running back that's really good. So they've got a tandem. And then receiver, Pierce Russell, they got two phenomenal receivers. Pierce Russell's a junior with great hands.
Yep.
Reminds me of Kerry Coke that played at Dunham a few years ago.
Okay.
And they got the fastest, most athletic kid in Shreveport, Evan Cole, who came back for senior year.
Yeah, he's played for a long time over there.
4 years.
Four-year starter.
He's 5'8", about 155, but, man, in space, he is unbelievable.
I was about to say, it had to be his senior year because I remember hearing that name for a long time.
It's like he's been there for 13 years, you know?
yep.
But he's number 21. He changed his jersey. He wasn't with the team, I don't think, this summer, but he came back. I'm glad he's back. I enjoy watching this kid play. I think he's D1. I think he's one of those slot Trent Taylor types. Trent Taylor, who went to Louisiana Tech from Evangel Christian.
Played with
back
the 49ers,
the
yep.
And their defensive line, Brayson Brown is a big-time player, number 50. Ty Nippers is another big-time player, a linebacker, number 45. Gavin Jacobs, another good-looking linebacker, number 44. And their O-lineman, I call him Pancaker. I just nicknamed him by watching him play, but his name is Cameron McCormick. He's a junior. Jay, 6'2", about 250. He will pancake you. He loves pancaking players. That's who I want.
Yeah.
If I'm signing an O-lineman, I want that high school kid that pulls and looks to pancake two or three people every time.
You need an offensive line with some mean streak in them.
And they got a kid named Kelton Fowler, who's a senior, 72 on the O-line. And Sawyer Simmons, number 20, a junior DB, he's going to be big time. He's actually a guy that probably won't be ranked next year early on, but I'm putting his name out there right now. Sawyer Simmons.
Okay.
Safety. I think he's D1. Southeastern and them guys should be all over him right now. He's 6 foot, about 180, but he will come in a hole and just take care of business, man. He's got that ability to read and react.
And you mentioned that, Lee, and that's why Nichols and Southeastern and programs like that are thriving right now, because they've been getting those
kind
gems.
Of kids.
Yep, those kind of kids, those kind of players. That's why they've been winning.
And LSU's saying, you can have them. Mm-hmm. But LSU didn't have anybody hitting like that right now, so they need to get that back.
Yep.
And people say, well, they don't have them in the state. They do have them in the state.
They're there. There are – LSU, the name speaks for itself. Everybody, all those kids, all those players want to play at LSU. So you can find them. They're out there.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, here's what you know already. You went to Southeastern, but you still like watching LSU.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big LSU fan still.
And most of the kids that play at Southeastern, when they're not playing at Southeastern, they're probably pulling for LSU.
Mm-hmm. Right. When LSU and Southeastern played, you know, just a couple years ago when Joe Burrow was playing, there were Southeastern fans that were going, but they cheer for LSU. Like, they're going to be in Southeastern gear and Southeastern cheer for the Lions.
Tough on them, yeah.
They want LSU to win, but they want Southeastern to play well. That's what they want. So
and maybe a little bit of them just with Southeastern.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than upset.
It's kind
of
like that with ULL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a group that's not LSU at all, and then majority or both.
Yeah, majority. Like McNeese, when McNeese played LSU.
Tech is that way.
It's majority LSU.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the state school's strong, and they just need to get some tough guys to combine with those highly ranked kids.
Yep.
And that's what Saban did when he was here. He would sign a Craig Steltz that maybe only ran a 4.65.
Mm-hmm.
But on the field, you didn't want to catch a ball near him.
And the way I see it, all these Louisiana colleges should help each other out. That's just the way I see it.
Yeah, to keep them home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you keep a kid home, from a school in New Orleans, then that next kid coming out the following year is going to want to go where his teammate went. And that's how they do it. I've been in recruiting 30 years, Southeastern. If Southeastern gets a kid from St. Augustine High School in New Orleans, they got a chance to go back and get a couple more because that kid knows those guys.
Right, right.
Trust me, it goes a long way.
If a kid transfers, like transfer somewhere else, we'll try to get them to transfer somewhere else in state.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. I mean, they need to work together, you know, but – anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to end the show with final thoughts. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Sky Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. I want to go ahead and thank our sponsors, Treads and Care Tire Company in Central, locally owned and operated, and owned by Devin Holly. What a great guy. I've been knowing Devin for a long time. Great people. All tire brands. Make sure you call Treads and Care, 331-8144. Also, Medin's Collision Center in Baton Rouge. You can go to Kincaid Avenue, 5275, or give them a call at 357-7983. If you need a paint job or any body work to your car, go to Medin's Collision Center. And also, you know, our first sponsor, John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Looking for a used car or a new car, Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles, and also fuel-efficient compacts, luxury models, even hybrids. Tell them Lee sent you. And our new sponsor, Gros Savon. If you want to plan a fishing trip, a hunting trip, a night over or a couple of nights.
Boys weekend.
Yeah, or family, or take your kids near Lake Charles, Louisiana. Be sure to talk to Gros Savon. We're going to have all their information. We'll have all their stuff up hopefully next week where you can learn more about Gros Savon and set up your fishing trip or your hunting trip. It is a phenomenal place to go to. I've experienced it. It's the greatest fishing trip I've been to in my life. And I'm someone that grew up fishing as a kid. People say, well, Lee, you didn't fish. Yes, I did.
Do you have any time to fish?
I grew up fishing as a kid. I loved it. I was a big bass fisherman, brim, you name it. I'd go fish for just catfish, cycalay. Depending on where you live in the state, you might call them white. You might call them perch,
right,
or whatever. But and saltwater fishing, you can actually saltwater fish in this reservoir as well. So Gros Savon. And look, final thoughts, go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, if you want to still get the North or South preview magazines. Mm-hmm. Jace, any final thoughts about this weekend with college football, high school football?
Well, it's going to be double duty for me this weekend.
Talk about Southeastern.
Yep, Southeastern. They play Houston Baptist on Saturday. So if you just finished the LSU Florida game, which kicks off at 11.
Yeah, early.
Yeah, Southeastern. Frank Selfo talked about earlier this week that he pretty much said that they're not winning so much right now in New Orleans at Tulane. They're not winning so much right now in Baton Rouge. So watch some winning football.
Hop over to Hammond, right?
Yeah, hop over to Hammond and first opening home game of the season for them against Houston Baptist and Southeastern. They're off to their best record since 1980. I believe Coach Lofton, Oscar Lofton, was the coach then. So it's been a long time, and they're ranked number 11 in the country. And Southeastern, they are rolling right now with Cole Kelly, and it's been some very exciting football. So watch the Lions play on Saturday in their first home game of the year, knowing it's homecoming, and especially with the Hurricane.
It's homecoming?
Yeah, but it's homecoming for them. And for the Hurricane, they haven't had a home game until now, so this is their first home game of the season.
And go watch a future NFL quarterback in Cole Kelly from Turlings Catholic. He's 6'7". He's now slimmed down like 240.
He has slimmed down. Yeah,
his old 265 weight at Arkansas where he started.
Frank Selfo's gotten the best of him and Coach Greg Stevens, the offensive coordinator. They've really got the best out of Cole Kelly at Southeastern.
And Southeastern, remember, we're promoting you, you know?
So, yeah, sure.
Look, if you live in Baton Rouge or New Orleans, it's not even an hour drive to go to Hammond.
And right now, I mean, Southeastern and UL and Lafayette, UL just had himself a really good game against Appalachian State, which is a Sun Belt power, and they beat them like a drum, really.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. And if you want to see a really good offensive line and running game play, I know it's not really going on too much right now in Baton Rouge, but those guys in Lafayette, they can sure run the football.
And I want to say this, as far as Southeastern, I've been to about three games in Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberry Stadium's a nice place.
It is. It's
a
really
very
good facility.
Comfortable facility. Parking is not a problem on campus.
Yep.
I don't feel like anywhere you park, it's really out of convenience. It's
nice. It's really good parking. And
I like the way that the stadium's laid out.
Yep, the scenery is nice.
There's not a bad seat in the stadium, really.
No, I got a pretty good seat from the press box. Yeah. A pretty good seat right there. But I'm looking forward to calling it. Now, Southeastern better be careful. They're coming off a big win against Nicholls, and that was a huge game concerning. Yeah,
physical game.
Yeah, whoever comes out of that game is in the driver's seat for the Southland Conference Championship. But coming in as a Houston Baptist team that struggled this year, they haven't won a game this season so far. So I'm not saying it's going to be a trap game.
That's what you're worried about.
Yeah, but you have to be careful. And, Southeastern, if they do what they do, they should take care of business early on. But if they, you know, they struggle a little bit, I mean, Houston Baptist, they'll probably take on. They know that they are the underdogs heading to this game, and they're going to take on that approach. So it should be an interesting game to see how that plays out.
And before we end the show, you have Episcopal Dunham. I want to go ahead and talk about that as a great game for maybe even district in the end.
Yeah.
And that's a rival game for those two teams. If you're hearing this from Shreveport or North Louisiana, this is kind of like if Airline played Parkway,
mm-hmm,
or if West Monroe played Neville.
Right.
That's what it's like here in Baton Rouge for Dunham against Episcopal.
It means a lot for both programs, Lee.
The kids know each other.
Kids know each other. Yep. Those are two great schools in the Baton Rouge area, two great programs, two great coaches. Every year, the district championship between both those two teams, it comes down to them too. And Dunham has played a lot of tough teams. You've seen Dunham play earlier this year against Southern Lab. They always face off. They try to schedule a lot of tough teams that are bigger than them.
To get ready
for games like this against Episcopal. Episcopal is undefeated. They are really riding Ethan Carmouche and Thomas DeArmond this year. And, it's just no matter what the personnel really looks like. You can really count on Coach Bourgeois, Coach Williams, the rest of the coaching staff to really adjust to the personnel they have.
And not only that, they change up what they're going to do sometimes. Like, Bro could be getting the ball for a pistol, yep. Or number five.
Right, Dryden Duggins could get the ball.
They don't have
Lewis, they have two quarterbacks. They really do.
They have other options.
They got a lot of options.
And they played all these kids started the season, and none of them had played a lot before this season.
Yeah.
They're smart. Coach Bourgeois, he takes his lumps, like you said early, and Dunham, and they get everybody playing time.
Yep.
Ed Orgeron should have consulted with them, okay?
Yep.
Play all your guys in the first two, three games, and then you feel comfortable putting them in, and now by week five, six, it's well-oiled.
Yep, both of them on the roll right now, and this is a part of the year where Episcopal is on the roll right now, and Dunham has really – played everybody that can really play give them a competition.
I really mean this because I'm really, Jace, I'm very hard on guys that really aren't like high D1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very honest.
Yeah.
I really believe that Thomas DeArmond is the real deal D1. And I think he reminds me of Todd Kenshin that played at Trafton.
Okay, yeah.
He's just a super dynamic player that has another gear.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It's like when he catches a pass, an out pass, and you're doing the games.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him play as a junior, and he was good, but he's just another level this year. And when he catches a pass, it's like a speeding bullet. Like, he's just, you're not going to get him.
I talked to Thomas, and I talked to his dad, and just the reason for that, Lee, is that this offseason, he put so much work into the offseason, and they have a really good cross-country team, a track team. Program too at Episcopal.
Yeah, big time.
He's worked out with them a lot to help improve his speed. You see, he has an extra gear now, and he squats over 500 pounds now.
Well, yeah, he's 6 foot tall, too. Yeah. And he's like 185. He's not a little guy. I mean, he's the perfect slot receiver. And I'm going to go out on the line and say this. And I've known his dad before the kid was even a teenager. Like, I know the family.
Right.
This kid has become a phenomenal player. And the lights have just all connected this year. Like, he is a big deal. And if people are listening to this show, a lot of people aren't aware of that as much.
Right.
But when the season ends, I think there's going to be some big-time suitors coming in wanting to sign him.
Yeah, and the only school talking to him that's really on him is Sanford.
That's where his brother went.
And that's because his brother went there.
Right.
And they know him from there. So, yeah, I agree with you, Lee, just watching him play. And not because, I'm calling the Pistons games. He is legit SEC.
He is.
Like,
he's that slot receiver that's going to give you trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he can run. And
he's physical, too. Like, he will carry defenders.
Yeah.
He's strong. He's quick. He can cut on a dime. And he's got some breakaway speed. I mean, he's got everything you really, really can ask for.
But just like we said earlier, and I see it every year, LSU's got to keep these kind of kids in Baton Rouge because that gear, you want that extra gear, and he has that extra gear of effort too.
Right.
Like, he only has one gear, and that's everything.
I mean, don't you like watching Jack Besh?
Right.
Would you like to see 20, 30 more of those Jack Besh-type players?
And then there's another one this year in Monroe at Ouachita Christian.
Tristan Wiley, yeah.
Who's just a little bit bigger version of Thomas.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So the point is the players are here. You got to go get the right kids to combine with some of the national recruit. You got to mix it up.
Yeah,
you can't just go sign a bunch of All-Americans only.
Look at when Nick Saban was here, was Jacob Hester a highly recruited guy? Was he a two-star? And there were a couple other two, three-stars under Saban's reign. So it's not all about the four or five stars. You just got to find the guys that will fit your program, what your program's identity is.
You know who helped him with the film when he was here?
Let me guess, person sitting right across from me.
right. And it's a true story. If you ever ask him or Derek Dooley, before analysts, before the internet, I had a film company, and they hired me to film all the games for his 4 years here as coach. Proud of working with him as a contract guy to get the film and break it down. But that's why I'm so, big on you gotta dig deep and find some kids that might not be ranked that are going to be great for your program, that are going to be actually really good playing for you at this level too.
Now, am I saying totally avoid the 4 or 5-star guys? No, I'm not saying that.
But you need a mix of
leaders. You need a good mix of those tough, hard-nosed type guys, along with the extremely talented, freakish athletic guys.
I always believed when Bobby Bowden, toward the end of his career at Florida State, and even the late Joe Paterno and the late Bobby Bowden, they got away from getting more of their local guys, and they were recruiting nationally. And a lot of those guys, when things didn't go right, they just left. They were from California or New Jersey or wherever, and it didn't mean as much as being from Florida, right? It didn't mean as much as being from State College, Pennsylvania, or Philadelphia. I saw that. A lot of people that listen to the show remember that. When Mack Brown was at Texas, when he got away from Texas, it was it. It was over. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He tried to recruit California. Why? Like, why would you go try and sign a bunch of kids from California when you have everything in Texas?
Because when things go wrong, like, let's say coaches, whatever, personal reason, whatever, like, they're going to want to, they bleed that university. They're going to want to play. They're going to stick around
and
no matter
kids
what.
Kids like Clyde Edwards, Justin Jefferson, that's what they won the 19 championship off of. Yep. Those guys were right under the radar. I liked them.
Yeah.
I had Clyde on my TV show, thought he was the greatest thing ever, and people are like, oh, we got Clyde?
Well.
And we missed this guy and that guy, and I'm like, no,
I've witnessed it firsthand. I tried to tackle Clyde, and it didn't go so well for me. So
but I mean,
witnessed it firsthand.
That is just an example of what I mean by you have to identify maybe 5 or 6 of these guys every year in state in your 25 that are going to be leaders in your class, too, because they eat and sleep Louisiana and LSU. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Good luck to your high school teams. Safe travels for all parents on the roads this weekend, whether you're traveling or you're locally. Unfortunately, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, but at the end,
that's the way it is.
A lot of teams are going to get in the playoffs. Yep. Some are only going to have a win or two.
Yep.
And look, there's going to be some great teams that come out of the playoffs that you wouldn't think would make it. We'll see what happens. We're getting close.
Yeah, just a couple more weeks left, Lee, in district play. Like high school teams, they divide in 3 different aspects. You got pre-district, you got district, and then you got the playoffs. So we're in the second out of 3 stages right now.
Yeah, we're close.
We're close.
And a lot of good football left. I'm ready to watch more game tape tonight and the rest of this weekend. And hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.